It's 10:06. Good morning. Veterans returning home from the war and then trying to find jobs has been a problem as long as there have been veterans and as long as there have been wars. That much is certain. And the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, no exception to that. Current numbers for unemployment of veterans between the ages of 20 and 24 running at 11.6%. That's higher than the general population of the same age, but not quite as high as it was in 2005 when the numbers for unemployed veterans were double those of others of the same age group. But it's still a concern. And for disabled vets, it can be an even tougher uphill climb. Well, this hour, we're going to talk about some hopeful programs that are combating this, if I can use that metaphor. And we're going to find out all about these in the next hour. And so we've got a veritable platoon of guests. In this first half hour of the program, I'd like to welcome Jill DeHaven, who is co-founder and board president of an organization called GreenCollarVets.org. And also joining us by phone is Paul Hess, a 24-year-old former Marine Corps sergeant who works with Green Collar Vets. So good morning to both of you. And first of all, Paul Hess, thank you for your service to our country. I wanted to say that before we did anything else. But
good
morning to both of you.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, tell us about, Jill, why don't we start with you?
Okay.
GreenCollarVets.org is the name of your website, and I will mention that several times while you're on here so the people can maybe remember it and go take a look at what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Tell us how you got involved with how this Green Collar Vets organization got started and your own involvement in it.
Okay. Well, I would say I've been in the kind of green construction field for about 10 years and always found when we were doing projects that no matter how committed we were to doing them green, we would run into some issues with finding products. And then if we finally found products, we would start to run into issues of finding folks that knew how to install them if there was some specialty involved. So that's always been kind of an issue for a developer builder like myself. About a year and a half ago, I was working on a project, just sitting around chatting with some folks with Habitat for Humanity, kind of talking about some green things. And a gentleman was there that works with veterans, and started telling me a story of some folks, specifically a young man who had been in the reserves, had been called up, had his own business, had been called up, did two tours in Iraq back-to-back, and came back. And when he came back, his business was gone. He had lost his house, all those kind of things, and found himself living in the Presbyterian night shelter doing day work. And I consider myself kind of smarter than the average bear, but I really had no idea those issues were around. And so I started doing research, started trying to look into that, and started seeing the things just like you just quoted, these unemployment numbers and these age categories, and thought, well, you know, I'm in a business that seems to always be looking for a skill set of folks that are willing to learn some new trade, and this green industry is growing so rapidly that maybe this would be a good fit. And so we formed the nonprofit Green Collar Vets, basically with the philosophy of it becoming more of a, you know, not an employer, but actually a job link, that folks that are in green industries that are looking to hire folks can kind of put those jobs out there, and then military personnel that are rotating out that are looking for jobs in this growing field can get on and look at it. And then if there's some specific training required, you know, there's some kind of assistance with that and so forth. And so that was the path we started on.
And how has that worked?
It's been amazing. We have spent probably the last, as I said, about year and a half, really trying to do our homework. This was put together obviously by myself. My other co-founder is Georgia Ritchie. Neither one of us are military people, knew nothing about it. We're, you know, totally naive to the many things. And so we've spent the past year getting up to speed a little bit, And we've been very fortunate to have as our executive director Howard Daniel, who retired after 30 years in the Navy as a master chief, extremely well connected with various aspects of the military and all types besides just the Navy. And he's been an awesome resource for us. We've had a good learning curve. It's evolved. You know, what started out in concept has certainly evolved and taken a life of its own. But so we are just really now starting to build the website, starting to reach out to very specific industries. The wind industry is really the primary one that's kind of embraced us with tight arms. And we get, you know, emails and text messaging and everything else from young men and women all over the world, knowing that they're going to be rotating out in the next, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 8 months, whatever, looking for jobs. And so this is kind of the springboard. This spring will literally be putting this process in full force. We've had several people like Paul, who's going to speak in a second, go through the program. He was our first. He was our guinea pig of kind of how would this work, what kind of training is needed, what kind of support, all those kind of things. And then we've just gone from there.
Well, Paul, I want to ask you about your involvement in this program. What were your circumstances when you came back from Iraq and you left the Marine Corps? What were you facing when at that point?
Well, at that point, I really didn't have any sort of job going on or had looked for any job before I got out of the Marine Corps. So I was pretty much unemployed when I got out, and then. So probably about a week after I got out, my mom, she got an email from a gentleman from the church that she goes to, and he was just asking about how if there's anyone that wanted to lend a helping hand towards any sort of around the house construction construction work. And so I replied to that, and that just evolved to just doing a few around the house construction companies here and there. And then eventually I met up with Jill because the person I worked with and Jill were friends. And so that's when they introduced the whole American clay work and the green color vet to me. And that sounded interesting. And so... So since then, I've just been working for Jill and.
Well, what kind of training did you have to get in order to be able to do the work that you're doing now? How much training did you have to have?
For like a construction, you really don't. I just mainly did deconstruction, and so no, you really don't need any special training for that. But for the clay part of what I do, I had to go to a 3-day class in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and they did hand-on training and school training. And so you took tests and discussed with everyone in the class of how to do the application of the clay and how to fix things that were wrong with the clay. So that was 3 days, and then after that, you just apply what you learned at the class onto the jobs that you do.
Now, the clay that you're talking about is a clay plaster that's used on walls instead of paint that might contain toxins. Is that Jill? Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, American clay is the product, and it's a obviously clay earth plaster. That replaces both the texture and the color on the interior of the walls. The company's been around, I'm going to say, 5 to 7 years. I'm not real sure. But the product requires a specialization of application. If you've done texture, you still really, this is not something you just pick up automatically. It's an art form. And the end result is it looks a lot like a Venetian plaster, but because it's clay, it's earth-friendly, and it doesn't, you know, release any VOCs. The pigment is natural. It's a water-based product. So so it breathes, the walls breathe, and help absorb some sound. And it's in doing green projects for, 10 or 12 years, it's really the product that has always interested me, but it needed that whole specialization skill of installation. So I never really used it on a lot of my jobs. And so this seemed to be a very likely relationship. It was as Paul explained, it's a minimal time of learning how to go through going through the class to learn how to do the product. But then it's probably easily a month or 2 months of actually on-job training and, getting to where you're actually proficient at it. And very few folks that are making their living putting texture and paint on the walls or putting even Venetian plaster on the walls wants to take the time out to go learn that. And that I can respect that. So the challenge was, as green project folks, how do we get this product up? So Paul has gone through this as well as John Wright, who's another young man that works for us that's a veteran. And it's a career. It can evolve itself into a career that pays decent wage, that it becomes a specialty, and it does require a certain knowledge base that you don't get just by learning how to put texture on the walls. So it's a cool product. It really is.
You're hoping that your effort, greencollarvets.org, is going to be a national effort. Where are you now with that? How many chapters do you have, and how many of them are outside of the state of Texas?
Right now, we have just the regional office that's in the state of Texas. We're waiting for the 501c3 out of the IRS. We've been told it's been done, but as usual, we're waiting for that to catch up with itself. Once that happens, then we have contacted folks in California and I believe it's Delaware that have actually approached us with an interest to start chapters. We're really going towards cities that have a high population of military, either existing bases or retirement spaces, areas that people have congregated to. Our hope is to take the rest of 2008 and get the website job board up and running way bigger than it is right now. We've got probably 18 companies that have contacted us in various types of green-related jobs that want to partner up with us to build this job site. And it's what we've learned is it's a little more than just job placement. Most companies that are in the private sector, two things are a big mystery to them. The first is they have no idea that these young men and women are coming out of the military and having trouble getting jobs. That's like a big, you're kidding, I had no idea thing. The second thing is they have no idea how to get to those guys. They have no idea how to get through the maze of military whatever to access these young people. So Green Collar Vets is really setting itself up to be that filter, to be that linkage that if you're an employer and you go, my gosh, these people have perfect skills for us, or maybe they don't have perfect skills for us, but the fact is they're going to come to us with a certain level of professionalism, job skills, job ethics, moral standards, all those things that employers, are always looking for. Work as a team, hardworking, all those things. And then on the other side, accessing people like Paul that, come out of the military, they've never done anything else. I mean, Paul joined the Marines when he was 18 years old. And so what he knew was the Marine Corps. And as amazing as that is, that's not going to get him a job in the private sector. And so it was, showing him how to, lucky for him, he actually got on our list without having to go through a resume process. But now we're starting the deal with, you have to put your resume on, you have to, be able to equate all these things that you did in the military with some form of private sector vocabulary, because it is a whole different way of talking. Military is all about letters and acronyms, and most private sector people don't know what that means. So it is evolving. It'll always be based in Fort Worth, We have a very high population of military, and we have probably four military bases, large bases, within a 150-mile radius, with the hope of 2008 probably doing four chapters outside of the Texas market, and then in 2009 hopefully probably maybe four to eight more chapters. It'll never be really about individual chapters. This is really going to be just a big national job board that has some filtration processes and that provides some support, really, some support for military folks.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out who wants to join us on the telephone. Here are your numbers, 800-486-8655. That's a toll-free number, 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's a local call for you. Please use 227-2050, 227-2050. You can send us an email as well. Here's the address, talk@WPR.org. By the way, if you're interested in checking out the Green Collar Vets organization, here's their website, www.greencollarvets, all one word. Please remember to put two L's in the word collar, greencollarvets.org. You can find out more about that organization there. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Kathleen Dunn today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 24 minutes after 10 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's what's coming up this afternoon on the Ideas Network. Raising a child these days is baby wipe warmers, sleeping coaches, and strollers that can cost $1,000. After two on Talk of the Nation, marketing expensive baby cribs and gadgets and what it means for the children. That's coming up after two on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about giving employment to or providing employment for veterans when they come home from Iraq. It's always a problem when veterans return from war of reintegrating them back into the general population and finding decent jobs for them. And we're talking this half hour about an organization in Texas, centered in Fort Worth, called Green Collar Vets, who are giving veterans training in green construction and other things. And we have two guests with us on the phone to help discuss this issue. Jill DeHaven is one of the founders of this organization, and she's with us on the phone. And also Paul Hess, who is an Iraq vet and who works for Green Collar Vets. Paul, I wanted to ask you, when you got out of the Marines, did you get any kind of job counseling or assistance? Did anybody tell you some things you needed to do, or you got your discharge papers and walked out?
With the Marine Corps, I don't know what the other branches do, but with the Marine Corps, about a month before you get out, you go to pretty much like a getting ready to get out type of a class. They try and get you back into being a civilian type of mindset. And they have guests there from job branches from around the United States that go there. And they just do an introduction to what their company is about. And they take applications and resumes as well.
Okay. Let me give the phone numbers again. 800-486-8655, 227-2050. We have a line available for you right now if you'd like to call and ask a question about this. Interestingly enough, Jill, we just did a program, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, on the whole green collar economy, and
yeah,
it's really exploding.
It is exploding.
All across the country.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things, you know, we read a lot around here, especially the green collar retraining funding that just went through the federal government, through an energy bill. And, you know, one of the interesting statistics that they kind of threw out was that, you know, the estimation of retraining kind of Joe Q public to learn how to get into this green industry is, you know, estimated to be maybe $10,000, and I'm just kind of rounding numbers here. But what they've seen is It's about half that to retrain military personnel. And, you know, you think about that, and if nothing else, that then becomes a pretty strong incentive for an employer to look at folks coming out of the military. These are young men and women that are already geared to learning new skills almost on a daily basis. And so to put them in a situation that they're required to learn a new career, whether it's over a three-day time frame or a two-year associate's degree or whatever it is, that ability is already in place. So what we have seen when we have worked with folks, with these veterans, is a very rapid learning curve. Granted, it's a whole new world coming out of the military, but once there are some things established and some training and some outreach and all that kind of thing, I think employers are going to be amazed. I think we all think it's great to hire military and it's, you know, your patriotic duty and all that kind of thing. But I have been so pleasantly surprised every time we've watched people go through these things that the quality of folks that serve in our military is amazing, and we need to do whatever we can to pull them into the private sector.
Well, when I'm not hosting talk shows, I actually manage an office, and I can tell you that what I'm looking for mainly are people who can show up for work on time and will follow orders.
Yes.
When
Paul first started working on the American Clay installation kind of full time, and he would get called out to job sites to do repair work or whatever for, you know, basically fixing someone else's mess. And the first couple of times he went out to the job site, he would call and say, okay, so I'm here on time and no one's here. You know, where is everybody? And I'm like, well, okay, so welcome to the private sector. I mean, you know, and that sounds very critical, but, you know, we and I put myself in this category, we in the private sector, we're not known for running a tight ship. Some areas are, you know, some institutions are, but construction in general, it's just a pleasant change. I'll just say that. Pleasant change.
Okay. We'll leave it at that.
Yes.
We do have some callers who want to join us, and we're about at the point where we're going to make a transition to another guest. So I want to get these calls in before
we
let you guys go, because I think they want to talk to you.
Okay.
Let's go first to Dan in Galena, Illinois. Dan, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Topic, and I know you're limited on time, but I was working with a soldier that had been injured by friendly fire and was in Germany for a while, returned to Iowa, and basically didn't know what to do. And, you know, these kids are coming back, and they're not given the basics on, you know, getting jobs and other things. I guess the quick question is how do you deal with these different states, because they all operate on different bases, and I know Illinois sometimes does things a lot different than Wisconsin and Iowa. Is there a way to connect the dots?
Well, I'm not sure there is. I mean, one of the reasons we hired someone from the military to be our executive director was to because he understands how the military works, and we don't. And so, part of his focus has been outreach to these various bases in these various states and trying to figure out how that might link up. What we've really kind of come to the conclusion of is most of these young guys walk off these bases, and that's kind of it. They don't really look back. I mean, they just keep on walking off. And so what we're really trying to do is set up more of a internet-based support system that hopefully over the next 5 years there will be many local chapters that if they need specific things dealt with, like how do we access our GI Bill, how do we deal with any kind of, you know, medical assistance, how do we find housing, those kind of things, that would be where the local chapters would step in. But the national would be pretty much internet-driven and job-linked.
Thanks a lot for the call, Dan. Let's go quickly to Mike in Langlade County.
Good morning. I'd just like to point out a couple of things. One is that the GI Bill was probably the biggest boost the American economy had after World War II, and when we're confronted by conservatives that think they ought to shrink government to the point where you can drown it in a bathtub, unquote, we should remember that that was accomplished and was the biggest increase in the size of the middle class in this economy, and it was done without any great big federal bureaucracy, because the money simply got funneled through the GIs to the schools. And that was a big, big boon to this economy.
Mike, thanks for that. Thanks for that call. Well, the green collar industry seems to be a growing part of our economy, and it looks like your program is pretty exciting. I think. Let's see. Nope, I don't. We don't have another caller up on the screen. I thought we did. We're about out of time. I wanted to just give you a chance, if there's something that we haven't gotten to about your organization, Jill, that you really want people to know about, this would be a good time to talk about it.
Well, I guess this is just, you know, this is a nonpartisan organization. I mean, this is not politically motivated by any stretch of the imagination. It's about linking a rapidly growing industry that can barely keep up with itself in terms of jobs. With a group of people that are rotating out of the military in anywhere from 20,000 to 30,000 personnel per year, and helping be a resource. You know, these young men and women risk their lives every day for those of us to sit here and talk on talk radio, and this is an organization that was funded with a passion to be a resource for that. And so that's really what it is. It's not it's not political by any stretch of the imagination.
Paul Hess, do you care to add any comments at this point?
No, I think Jill pretty much has said it all. You know, she's a very huge military supporter, and that's something that you really need for someone that runs a company that helps military get jobs. And so that's all she is about a military service member and helping them out in any sort of way that she can.
Well, Jill, a great idea to hire an ex-Navy Master Chief. Because they know how to get things done. Two of the best people I ever supervised were ex-Navy Chiefs.
Yeah.
And my goodness, they made my life a lot easier.
Oh, yes. He definitely does mine as well.
Well, I appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with the future of your organization. Again, the website is www.greencollarvets, that's all one word, .org. Jill DeHaven and Paul Hess, thank you for your time this morning. Jill DeHaven is a co-founder and board president of greencollarvets.org, and Paul Hess is a 24-year-old former Marine Corps sergeant who works with Green Collar Vets. We're going to change our specific focus, but still keep it on veterans for the rest of this hour. Disabled veterans have special challenges that go beyond the challenges that regular veterans have, and we're going to spend the rest of this hour talking about the challenges that they have, what they have to confront when they come back. They get released from hospitals, and now they're in the workforce and trying to reconstruct their lives after their bodies have been reconstructed. And we're going to talk about the special challenges that they face. And before I introduce my guest for the rest of this hour, I'll give the phone numbers again, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. That's a toll-free number that is good to pretty much anywhere you can hear the broadcast, although I'm told it's not good in Australia. If you're in Milwaukee, it's a local call for you at 227-2050, 227-2050. You can also send us an email. Here's the address, talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Okay. My next guest is Richard Ehrlich, Executive Director of VeteranTutors.org, and he joins us by phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. First of all, tell me a little bit about your organization, what it does, and how it got going.
Well, we're a veterans organization. We're older veterans. Many of us have some impediment. And we organize younger disabled veterans to tutor at-risk kids. located in Austin, Texas, but we're beginning to operate throughout Central Texas, and we'll see where it goes from there.
How did you get the idea to use to have disabled veterans work with at-risk children? Where did that come from?
Well, I'm the son of a teacher who taught in the public schools all her working life. I'm married to a teacher, and from time to time, I've been tutoring in the schools. And every now and then, teachers would remark, these kids respond really well to veterans. Well, that's no surprise when you consider who serves in the armed forces. Most of the kids that I've been tutoring at that time come from low-income and minority homes, and so do most of our soldiers and sailors, airmen and Marines. When we put them together, we find that the young veterans we're working with really are the same kids 10 years older.
Well, we really do have a flood of young veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan who have very serious injuries. The news reports focus on how many are killed, but many hundreds or thousands more are severely wounded. Do you have any idea on how many of these individuals are coming back into the workforce now? It's got to be a pretty significant number.
Well, I'd like to tell you that a large number are coming back into the workforce, because we know there's approximately a dozen people wounded for everyone who's killed. And the type of weapons the other side is using frequently results in grievous injuries. And we have much improved medical care these days. So people who would never have survived their injuries in prior wars are surviving and coming back to their home communities. Now, getting them back into the workforce is another issue. About half of the veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan who are discharged by reason of disability probably will not get a civilian job absent some sort of sponsorship that focuses on them as an individual.
The students that you're tutoring, why do you think they respond to veterans so well? What is the link up there?
Oh, it's easy. The kids we work with typically are high school kids who failed to acquire enough credits as freshmen to advance to sophomore year, and that's almost a perfect description of the kid who's likely to drop out of school. And we don't, I think any of us, predict anything good for a kid who drops out. For one thing, dropouts are six times as likely to enter the criminal justice system as kids who graduate from high school. So if for that reason alone, it's worth making an effort. But the reason they respond, I think, is we have a different set of experiences than most of their teachers do, which I think a lot of them consider real world. So, for example, if I'm working with a kid and he's not paying attention and, just generally giving everybody a hard time, it's easy for me to say, hey, listen, when I was just a couple years older than you are, I was running around the woods getting shot at, and I can tell you the three things that would get me killed. One was not paying attention. Another was not following procedure. And the third was being a wise guy and figuring I had all the answers. And you're behaving with, you're doing all three. So, what do you think is going to happen to you in the classroom? So, they respond well to that.
Well, I guess they can say they've been there and done that. So, they've got some life experience that a person would have to respect.
I think it's more than that, too. I think that by the time somebody has been in the military service, been overseas, been in combat, come back to this country, been through the medical system, I think they have a much more seasoned view of the world than a high school kid who's done none of the above. And, the kids that we work with treat these young veterans as heroes. And that's not universally true throughout our society. I mean, there's respect there. But I think most civilians, if they see a young person who they know is ex-military in a wheelchair or, on crutches and prostheses, they say, oh, poor guy. But if they know that that guy is helping some kid get through school, they say, what a guy. And I believe that difference in public perception induces a change in self-perception in the veteran. And we believe that that's a path to healing.
We have a caller who wants to join the discussion. We'll go to Mario, who is on a cell phone. Mario, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning. I help facilitate a prison boot camp in West Central Wisconsin here. It's called the CMP program, and I am a disabled veteran now. I got hurt in West Central Iraq in a gun truck accident about 2 years ago, and before I had left for Iraq, I was a drill sergeant here at Minimum Prison Boot Camp, where we take men out of the prisons from the ages of 18 to 40. And when I returned to the DOC, I have been trying to pick up where I'd left off. And to sum it up very shortly, because I'm sure there's many other people that want to talk, what we do is in the Jackson County and Clark County Forests, what we do is we take these inmates out on work crews, which in the Natural Resource Department of Natural Resources for Jackson and Clark County, we have quite a few inmates, up to and including 100 inmates if needed for fire crews, just general maintenance of the woods. And ever since I've returned, my eyes have been opened in a different way with dealing with these inmates. These inmates are 18 to 40 because it is kind of like a paramilitary organization where we take the inmates out of prison, the men out of the prisons. And we teach them drill and ceremony and whatnot. And we teach them about all the resources, how to live life, how to manage yourself. And through labor-intense activities, it gives them a stepping stone to build character upon. And what I would like to tell some of the gentlemen that I deal with at the VA here in Tolma, we have a Tolma Veterans Administration a hospital. I hear a lot of negativity and whatnot. Take care of yourself the best that you possibly can, and try to, help some of these other gentlemen. Some of these gentlemen in the ages of 30, 35, 40 have never had jobs, been locked up or incarcerated in and out of trouble through their own faults, just generally because they don't have a sense of direction. Well, I am a combat veteran. I have had a sense of direction growing up as a child, and I also can instill discipline and teach others how to do, certain things, which we take for granted. I say we as in people that are not incarcerated nor have been incarcerated. But there are so many things out there for the veterans to do. Please let me know if I'm getting too long-winded.
Well, I wanted to know what you meant when you say your eyes were opened. Eyes were opened in what way when you came back?
The way my eyes have been opened is since I am I'm not in a wheelchair, not confined to a wheelchair, I'm not missing any limbs, but my neck, some of my vertebrae are crushed, and this, that, and the other. I'm now confined to my own abilities, if you will. I can't run a PT test for the military. I can't wear Kevlar, so I was retired. And now the department my job says, well, hey, we don't know if we can even keep you anymore. We don't know if we can keep you employed anymore. Well, I've pushed myself beyond my own pain to try to maintain and keep this job. And some of the inmates who are sort of negative about certain views and values, I point out some of my own, plight on how they've got it so good. When I ran the gun truck squad in West Central Iraq, I couldn't just stop and make a head call, if you will. I couldn't just pull over and get something to drink, or I didn't have air conditioning in my vehicle, so it was pretty hot. And I couldn't just get something to eat. I didn't have clean clothes. I didn't have linens. So what I do is I use my own four instances to help these people understand that they don't have a 10-degree temperature variation in their room. They have clean linen every week. They have clean clothes every day. And they're there for only 6 months, whereas I was gone for, 14 months.
Okay. Mario, thanks for the call. I want to make sure we give our guests a chance to respond. Mario is working with another group of at-risk people, and they're the people who didn't get that kind of intervention perhaps when they were in high school or at a time when it might have done them a little more good, but it just still kind of demonstrates the relationship between veterans and those who they can teach what they learned in the military about character and so forth.
Well, you know, I think Mario is dead on. I think that the kind of life experiences that he's had ring true with the people he's working with. Now, we're working with a highly at-risk population, but we figure if we can spot them at freshman year of high school, why should we wait for them to be incarcerated? In other words, we're trying to intervene earlier. But all the issues of character development and developing focus, developing self-discipline, developing the determination to complete tasks, all of those are common issues. And I think veterans already are imbued with those qualities. They can model them for young people, and we can play an active role in saving kids who otherwise might drop out of school. I don't know if you're aware of how many kids do drop out. Nationally, we're very soon going to have a majority of enrollments in our public schools of kids who come from low-income and minority homes. Of those kids who are in our public schools from that background, from a disadvantaged background, over half will never get a high school diploma absent some sort of direct intervention. So we're talking about a lot of kids.
Yeah, that's an amazingly tragic statistic. And we'll talk some more about that, and we'll take some calls. We need to take a break now, though, and when we come back, we'll hear what other people have to say. My guest this hour, or this part of the hour, is Richard Ehrlich, who is Executive Director of VeteranTutors.org, an organization that places disabled veterans as tutors for at-risk high school students. You can join the conversation at 800-486-8655 or 227-2050. There are lines available for you if you call now. I'm John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 9.5 minutes before 11 o'clock, coming up after the news at 11, are you aware that any file from a popular software application sent by email or accessible at a website is no longer trustworthy? After 11, Larry Mueller welcomes personal computer consultant Peter Green of InfoStar, who reports that data thieves are using fuzzing tools to access your computer. That's coming up next hour here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about a program that places disabled veterans with at-risk students in an effort to help keep them in school. And we have with us by phone Richard Ehrlich, who is the Executive Director of VeteranTutors.org. And if you want to visit their website, it's exactly what I just said, www.VeteranTutors, all one word, .org. And we have some callers who are waiting to join our discussion. Let's go to Yvonne in Brown Deer. Yvonne, good morning.
Good morning. This is another American achievement in making goods with what you've got left, right?
You bet.
You've got two groups that are having trouble growing up. And I'm wondering, do you have any women involved in the program?
We do. Right now, the numbers are small because proportionally, there are many fewer women serving on active duty than men. But
right.
The numbers are steadily growing, and I'm sad to report the number of disabled women veterans is growing, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I was wondering because they're out of their family backgrounds, but they're used to having aunties and grandmas and that around, and I wondered if, you know, is this the people who are helping out, or is this a volunteer thing?
Well, we actually consider ourselves the employer of first resort for disabled veterans returning to their communities.
Right.
You may know that the Veterans Administration, while trying very hard to serve these veterans, has a huge caseload, and there's a backlog of something like a 500,000 veterans who are waiting for evaluation. And it can take as long as 18 or 20 months in some areas before they get appropriate attention.
Yes.
What we try to do is to reach them when they first come home and offer them a job tutoring kids.
Yes.
Now, that's not meant to be their ultimate employment, although we do encourage people who get interested in teaching kids to enter the Troops to Teachers program, which is jointly sponsored by the Department of Defense and the Department of Education to encourage veterans to enter teaching as a career. But while they're making up their mind or while they're in line waiting to get admitted to college or into job training programs and things like that, we put them to work and we pay them to tutor kids.
Well, my thought was if you would accept volunteers and insert some women into that, that would give, because I'm well aware of the difference of female veterans, et cetera. And so it would be maybe more of a family situation if there was a few more older women in there. That could be.
I think that's a wonderful idea, and I can give you two or three reasons why I think so. Number one, most people don't know, more girls drop out of school than boys.
Oh, yes.
Number two, I think that all of us, as you know, who are parents, want our daughters to have enough education that, God forbid, they should have to support their families themselves one day. The odds of that are actually reasonably high. So we want to make sure that they can provide for their children what the rest of us have wanted to provide for our own.
Yeah. See, my feeling is that women my age, well, I'm 73, so I don't know how many 73-year-olds would be dumb enough to sign up for this, but I know how much I get from my grandchildren. And I'm in a situation now where I want to give back. And I just thought that the insertion of older women in there would be more like a society that they are used to.
Do you use a computer?
Very badly.
Well, we can help you there, and we can teach you how to become more adept because we have a tutoring platform that as long as you're connected to the Internet, you can tutor a kid who is also connected to the Internet anywhere through our intermediation.
So you
can work from home to help a child pass their English or whatever subject you feel that you're best at.
This is really great. How about if we do this? I will. Our producer can perhaps get Yvonne's contact information and pass that along to you, Richard Ehrlich, and you can hook up. And this sounds like a wonderful thing. And thank goodness for public radio, right? 800-486-8655 is a toll-free number you can call to join our discussion. We have just a few minutes left, but we can still slide in another phone call if you call right now. 227-2050 is the number to call in Milwaukee. It's a local call for you. There's an email address for those who prefer to use the Internet, talk@wpr.org. This hour, we're talking about veterans coming home and finding work, and in this half, we've been talking about an organization called Veteran Tutors, which matches disabled veterans with at-risk high school students and helps them to graduate. Richard Ehrlich is my guest. Mr. Ehrlich, we're getting close to the end of the program here. I wanted to just ask you, how is your program funded, and how can people help to support it?
Well, we certainly accept volunteers. We're trying to. We have a number of small grants, and we are trying to move to from grant support to a fee for service support because there is funding available for the vocational rehabilitation of disabled veterans, and we're working steadily at becoming a qualified provider of those services. And on the school side, there is money for what they call Title I. Tutoring and Title I dropout intervention, and we're finding that if we pool our funds, we have sufficient resources to provide enough attention for these kids to get them to pass their courses and to graduate.
Well, thank you so much for sharing information about your organization this morning, Mr. Ehrlich. It's been extremely enlightening.
Jan, thank you very much for the invitation.
Well, you can thank Rhonda Fanning, who's our producer, who makes all these contacts here, and I really appreciate her help. Thank you so much. The Richard Ehrlich was my guest, and he's executive director of VeteranTutors.org. Again, that website, www.VeteranTutors, all one word, .org. If you enjoyed this program, you can thank Rhonda Fanning for producing it. Mimi Notstein handled the telephones, our on-air producer for this hour of programming. And if you'd like to hear it again, there are several ways you can do that. If you'd like to own a copy, you can call the radio store at 800-747-7444 and ask for program 47E. Or you can go to our website, wpr.org, and if you're a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, you can download a copy. Or if you're not, you can listen to it in real time online. Aren't we clever? I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network.